2 weeks ago, I predicted the Bengals to lose to the Ravens by 2 touchdowns. They lost by 2 touchdowns. Last week, I told you guys that the Ravens would beat the Chargers by 10 points. They won by 10 points. Maybe I should pick up gambling. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Big time win by the Ravens. They moved to 9-3 after beating the Chargers 20-10. We'll talk all about that game. We'll look ahead to the bye week. Figure out how the Ravens are doing so far. This is a good time to get a glimpse of how the Ravens have performed and what they need to do moving forward to get on top in those last 5 games. We'll have Rita Hubbard. You guys know her very well if you're Baltimore sports fans. The NFL chick will join us. She'll give us her thoughts about the game, give us her thoughts about the team moving forward and how they've done overall as a team through these first 12 games. But first, I told you, Ravens beat the Chargers. Not much of a surprise, not a big surprise if you're a Ravens fan, but of course, some fans were not very excited, not happy about the way things went out. Of course, if you've watched the podcast, you know that's my favorite thing to say. You weren't surprised by this. I told you guys, the Chargers, don't go by their record. They have some issues with coaching a little bit of a philosophy issue over there, but they have the talent. Many thought the Chargers would be right in the thick of it in the AFC as far as the playoffs are concerned, but the Ravens were in the fight. Some fans thought that, hey, this is looking eerily similar to that Colts game. Doing just enough to let that team hang in there and come back and pick up the win. No, not me. There was never a time where I thought that the Ravens would drop the ball and lose this game. It's week 12. The Ravens are who they are. The Chargers are who they are. The talent's there for the Ravens. They got the job done. So big kudos to the Ravens for getting the job done. Of course, this is led by that ferocious defense and the Mike McDonald. That guy's gone. I mean, if you're a Ravens fan and you think, hey, there's a chance we can keep him. I saw some tweets over there, some takes where they say, oh, well, maybe if the Ravens promise Mike McDonald a head coaching job in the future, maybe pay him like a head coach. And when John Harbaugh's ready to retire, then he goes and Mike McDonald comes in and ooh-wee, we're right in it. Just like with Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta. No. Coaching is different from executive work as far as GMs are concerned. Mike McDonald, as great as he is, who knows? Maybe the talent's not there. You just paid Lamar Jackson damn near $300 million to come in and play for your team. Not a lot of coin out there to bring in other guys. The Ravens have been very lucky with these value players at skill positions. Geno Stone comes to mind. I mean, the Ravens are hitting goal right now. Mike McDonald, as great as he is, I think he's a great defensive coordinator. If I was him, strike while the iron's hot. You're the coach that guys are talking about. Get him in there if you're one of the other 31 teams and make him an offer and he's your head coach. Don't play around with this. Well, we promise you'll be the head coach once John Harbaugh retires. When is Harbaugh retiring? Not anytime soon, I don't think. I joked about this online. Maybe if the Ravens win the Super Bowl this year, Harbaugh says, you know, I've done enough. I got my 2 rings. Let me sail off into the sunset as one of the best coaches in the history of the National Football League. Definitely the best coach in Ravens history. So that's my take on it. I don't think Mike McDonald is going to be a Raven next year. I think he's definitely going to take that head coaching job. Much of the chagrin of Ravens fans. But as I mentioned, the defense plays stellar. The offense, not so much. I mean, they did good. Zay Flowers with those 2 touchdowns, pretty much all the Ravens needed. But I think we need to let it out. I mean, this is a podcast, you know. We talk, we banter. Let me just be frank. The Ravens do this once or twice a year, every year on the John Harbaugh. They didn't really do it much. No, they did a little bit throughout the beginning of the year, but this was just a telltale case of the Ravens just not adjusting. Not adjusting. Brandon Staley's on a hot seat. I think we can all agree with that. Staley's on the hot seat for the San Diego Chargers. Sorry, it's not San Diego, Los Angeles. Staley's on the hot seat. So, you know Staley's going to come into this game against a red-hot Ravens team, best team in your conference. And what is he going to do? The Chargers have been maligned for not having a great pass defense. Staley was going to hammer home the pass defense concept this week against those Ravens on primetime television. So the Chargers do what I expected them to do, which is play coverage. The majority of the game, the Chargers were like, do what you got to do. We're not going to let you pass on us. Not effectively. No big plays. We're going to support our players who have had struggles stopping the pass with concepts that are largely centered around stopping the pass. And the Ravens said, I don't care. We're going to pass the ball anyway. Pass, 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 pass. Just over and over again, banging their head on the wall. It makes no sense. They do this every year and it pisses me off. Now, the Ravens have the talent, okay? There was no doubt in my mind that the Ravens were going to find a way to win this game because they're just the better team. However, comma, this has got to stop. It just has to stop, guys. If the team is telling you, we dare you to pass, run the ball. Especially if you're struggling passing the ball. Especially if you're not consistent with your progress passing the ball. The Ravens aren't a passing team. Hell, in some regards, the Ravens aren't even a rushing team. They're a balanced team. The Ravens will run the ball at you until you stack the box, until you sell your soul to stop the run, and then they have the outside weapons and the quarterback to kill you with the pass. And vice versa. And vice versa, which is something that the Ravens have no clue what that means. If they sell their soul to stop the pass, kill them with the run. Kill them with the run. Now, to the Ravens' credit, in the fourth quarter, when the goings got tough, the Ravens decided, okay, you want to stop the pass? We'll beat you to death with the run. And what happens? Zay Flowers, touchdown. Now, of course, after that touchdown, there was some moaning and groaning from the defensive side of the ball. You should have slid. You should have stopped short of the goal line so that we don't have to go back out there. You could take a knee, the game's over. Shut up. Shut up and play. Now I understand it's a tough game. You worked hard. The defense definitely deserves credit for getting the win, but play the game. Zay Flowers hasn't touched the end zone since God knows how long. He's a young kid in his 20s. He sees green. No man on earth is going to stop this guy from touching the end zone. He gets there. He celebrates. He's happy. And the players are like, oh, no, you should have stopped short of the goal line. You should have took a knee three times and ended the game so we can go home. I don't want to work anymore. That's what I hear. Now, this is being blown out of proportion, of course, mostly by the fan base. I'll admit that. Not much of an issue in the locker room, I'm sure, but that's what I hear when I hear complaining about that. Of course, if the Ravens stop short of the goal line and the unthinkable happens and they bobble the snap during the kneel down and the Chargers take it the other way, 99 yards, and they win the game, the concept is the Ravens don't know how to close out games. How do you close out games in the National Football League? You score more points than the other team. If you give up 10 points in 96 seconds, something is wrong with you as an organization. Something is wrong with you as a defensive unit. What did the Ravens defense do after the touchdown? They stopped Justin Herbert. Game was over. So I have no issue with that. Just pipe down with Zay Flowers' touchdown nonsense. It's okay. He's allowed to score a touchdown. I'm so excited that he scored that touchdown. Good for him. Hopefully more to come as the season comes to a close. That's my spiel on it. But moving forward, I mentioned this on my social media. We talked about it a little bit. We're going to have a new segment every week moving forward towards the end of the season. Let's call it the Ravens Talk Mailbox, where I ask some faithful fans who've been tuning in to the show to give me some questions that you want answered on the show. So I'll just pull up my handy dandy device and we'll look at these questions. Some of them are good. Some of them has me thinking. So some of these I'll save for Rita, but let's get into it. First question I saw, what does Lamar look like later into his career as his dual threat capabilities naturally regressed? Great question by cool popular guy. Lamar has to just get better as a passer. And I think we've seen what he has to do. I mean, really, let's think about it. Lamar's really a pocket passer. A pocket passer with the ability to run the football. He's more Steve Young than Michael Vick right now, in my opinion. Of course, the threat to run is there, and defenses are respected, but what you're seeing now is what you're going to see 10 years down the road. Now, what makes him the most special, his legs obviously will regress and they'll make him less dangerous, but I think what you're seeing now from Lamar is who he'll be later on in his career as he naturally regresses, his abilities as a runner begin to fade due to age. So, great question by that guy. Next question by my guy, Whiskey Gene. Why can't we develop wide receivers or rushers? We always rely on vet mercenaries to mix results. Good question. The wide receivers aspect, I don't know. The Ravens are cursed. The guys ate Flowers and Rashad Bateman's looking pretty good right now. But they're waiting to see. Zay Flowers in his first year. Rashad Bateman's been give and go. Injuries have really plagued him. Not really a good testament to his ability as of yet, but I don't know. Up to now, the Ravens haven't had much success with wide receivers. It's really an issue with their scouting department. I'm sure they've looked into it, and so far, so good. EDC has done a good job. As far as pass rushers go, that's an easy answer. I've always wanted to talk about this, but never really had the avenue, so this is a good time. Pass rushers are some of the most easiest guys to scout for. It's really easy to look at tape and see who's a good pass rusher and who's a not-so-good pass rusher in college film. So the good pass rushers get picked early. This is the long and short of it, for the most part. There are some issues where, you know, a pass rusher may have a bad knee or a bad rep. But for the most part, if you're a good pass rusher, you get picked early. If you're a so-so pass rusher, you get picked later. So the Ravens are perennially good, so they get picked. They pick later in the first round. So not so much chances to get a good pass rusher. So good job by the front office to get these mercenaries, and with Mike McDonald, who's scheming up these guys to great results, it's good for them. So that's my answer with that. A few more before we go on to a break. What will happen with Mark Andrews, you think? It's give and go. The Ravens said that it's an outside chance that he can make a return to the team if they make a deep run. So I'm thinking if the Ravens make it to the AFC Championship or maybe the Super Bowl, then Mark Andrews will likely play or at least make an attempt to it. But if the Ravens make it to the division round and fall short again, then I doubt we'll see Mark Andrews in the 2023 season. A couple more questions. I like this one. Do the Ravens realistically need a clock game manager for the rest of the season? I would love that. I've been preaching this to the choir. To the Harbaugh's credit, he's done a better job with it, but man, I think the Ravens would really, really, and not just the Ravens, the other teams too, would really do well for themselves if they got themselves a manager for the clock or game time situations. I know most teams have a guy up there to look at replays to determine whether they should throw the red flag, but man, these teams are not good and managing the game. And some of that has to do with the head coach has a lot on his plate in a given game. I'll admit that. And fans don't really take that into consideration, how much the head coach has in his ear set, play calling for the quarterback, listening in on what's going on, getting the feel for the game. So game managing is a little lower on the totem pole, lower than it should be. I will say that. But yeah, I think a game manager across the league would do wonders for the product of the game. Let's have one more question. Should the front office try and trade Marcus and Ronnie in the offseason? And of course, that's Ronnie Stanley and Marcus Williams. I think fans need to understand that it's very difficult to find yourself a good left tackle in the National Football League. If they trade Ronnie Stanley, who's going to block the left side? We saw Patrick McCurry look inadequate in his role. I mean, he did okay as far as being a backup left tackle, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult to find a left tackle. So Stanley's been plagued by injuries, and Harbaugh mentioned that this week. He's still one of the better left tackles in the league. I know Ravens fans don't agree with that. He's better than most. If you could trade him, you better have a plan B. The Ravens traded Hollywood Brown away and got Tyler Linderbaum, who's been a godsend, but there was a huge hole at wide receiver once he left. You cannot do that with the guy who's responsible for protecting your $300 million quarterback. He didn't get paid $300 million, but I like to round up. So that's my answer to that. Marcus Williams, should you trade him? If you can, go for it. If you can, I think, because Geno Stone will be a cheaper option. Marcus Williams, although he has been impressive in his limited time in Baltimore, he's just been too injured. And the Ravens are developing safeties that have really come to their own that can pick up the ball and do amazing things with it. So if you can trade him, go for it. But it's going to be difficult, I tell you that. So that's going to do it for that. Great questions. We'll do it again next week. I'm going to get to a lot of these questions, so I'll try to answer them on social media after this recording, just to give you guys my thanks for that. So we'll do that again next week, but these are good questions. That's why I love Ravens fans. They know the pulse of the team, and they have the questions ready to go, and I hope I answer this to the best of my ability. When we come back, we'll have Rita Hubbard, the NFL chick, my good friend, the best Ravens, let's say Baltimore personality, in the business, somebody who I respect a great deal and somebody that you guys, I'm sure, know very well. We'll have her here next, and we'll talk all about these Ravens and what they need to do moving forward to possibly get to the Super Bowl. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. We have with us Rita Hubbard, the NFL chick. She is pretty much the go-to for Baltimore sports knowledge. I think we can all agree that she's much respected here in this field. Podcast, Gridiron Gals, Winning Drive at Cordell, 105.7 The Fan. She does it all. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sam. We go way back, so I'm finally glad to be a part of such a growing and great podcast.
Thank you. We do go way back. Actually, she's my first media friend in this business. So,
yes, and crazy. I was like, he had to have been the coach, 2009.
Yeah, man, long time. God, you haven't aged a day, and I'm growing bolder by the minute. So,
me too. If you haven't noticed.
But let's get into it because the Ravens just got off. They got a big win against the Chargers. Some fans are disappointed by the way the offense played, but I think we all can agree that the defense really showed out and pretty much did what they had to do to pick up the win. What are your thoughts on the game? How do you think the game went?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the head coaching and offensive coaching were not good. I think we can all agree with that. Mm-hmm. The offense in general was not that good. And look, this is the first full game that they had without Mark Andrews. So it's very possible that it's just going to take an acclimated process to really find a way to move forward from a guy who is so pivotal in what they do on offense. That being said, the problem that I had with that game offensively was that Mark Andrews was in the game a couple of weeks ago against the Browns. He was in the game against the Steelers. The problem to me wasn't just Mark Andrews. The problem is the fact that when Ravens play elite pass rushers, they get dumbfounded, or mm-hmm. they just continue to do the same thing and think that there's going to be a different result, which is the definition of insanity. Right. But I'm not going to try to harp on that too much. I mean, it is a concern, Sam, because when you look at the schedule that they have coming up, they're going to be facing more elite pass rushers. Yeah. And so you would like to think that they're going to find a way to neutralize those guys, because that's what you're going to need to win football games. But I'm going to try to give them some grace. You know, sometimes you have a hiccup game. Mm-hmm. They have been playing football. Yes, I know they had a mini bye against the Bengals, but it's still not necessarily a bye. You know, they've been playing football essentially every week since September. And, you know, it's been a long year. And so hopefully this bye week will allow this offense to re-energize, reorganize some things. The defense, man, I mean, look, I said he had all these mm-hmm. things to say about the offense because it needed to be said. But I still have faith in what this offense can do, despite everything that I've told you. But this defense, man, I mean, they have been so good all year long. And it's funny because all of us came in and we were questioning, well, how are they going to rush the passer? Who's on here going to be the guy? And it's been by committee. And whether you like that or not, it's been effective for this team. And, you know, look, the Chargers, as much of a mess as they are, they still have a good offense. You know, I know Austin Eckler has had some struggles this year, but he's been an intricate part of what they do. Keenan Allen, to me, while slow, still was one of the better route runners in the National Football League. Had 11 catches, you know, the other night. And then, you know, Justin Herbert is a very good quarterback. So to only hold them to 10 points and really, you know, three for the vast majority of the game tells you how good this defense is and how they can potentially carry this team on when the offense sometimes falters. So that's the good thing I really caught. I mean, that's something that I think that we've all noticed all year, yeah. But this was the first time this season, I think, that we watched the Ravens really sputter since early on in the season against the Colts and the Steelers on offense. And then the defense found a way to help solidify a win as opposed to the losses that they had earlier this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the Ravens have been trying. I mentioned it last week that they were going to struggle against Khalil Mack because they've pretty much been struggling in all year against these pass rushers. They've tried to chip with tight ends and running backs, and nothing seems to be working. So, yeah, you're right. They got some big, big tests coming up with the Jaguars and the 49ers. Steelers, they come to mind. They're going to have their hands full for sure. But you mentioned the defense. They stole the show on Sunday Night Football. Mike McDonald's been a hot topic in Baltimore recently, just pretty much off that big win. Fans are nervous. They think he's going to be leaving soon. I think he's gone, but I want to get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a year tops. Yeah. Maybe you have one more year with Mike McDonald, but I don't see how you stick around, you keep him around. You know, the situation with Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta is different, right? Because, you know, Eric DaCosta had family rooted in Baltimore already, so he didn't want to leave necessarily. Right. He wanted to stay in Baltimore. He wanted to keep his family in Baltimore. You know, his wife, we know, Lacey, is from Baltimore. So it made more sense for him to kind of be the person in waiting, right? What's exactly holding Mike McDonald back from moving on? You know, what is he that pressed to be in Baltimore? We don't know how long John Harbaugh is going to be before he decides that he wants to retire. Mm-hmm. And the way that I see it, he's going to be the person that's going to be responsible for that decision. I don't think he's going to get fired. I think, you know, if anything, he's going to ride off into some type of sunset on his own terms. Mm-hmm. And that could be 5-6 years from now. And maybe Mike McDonald doesn't want to wait that long. So everybody's like, oh, maybe you can pay him, you know, head coach type money, and that's cute, but at the end of the day, if your aspirations is to be a head coach, you're about to just take head coach money as a defensive coordinator just because you're waiting for someone. I think the good thing, though, that we can look at this, although I really do hate to see Mike McDonald go if and when he leaves. There's other guys on this defense that have done phenomenal jobs. Anthony Weaver is on the staff that we continue to forget. He is the assistant head coach of this team. And so, you know, it is very possible that if Mike McDonald somehow moves on, maybe Anthony Weaver is next in line. Smith, the defensive line coach, he's on there as well. And so there's other guys that I think will be able to step up. But you just really have to appreciate Mike McDonald. And I was team McDonald. The second Wink got fired, man, and they brought Mike McDonald back, I was like, that's it. And everybody's like, no, Wink shouldn't have been fired. And I personally, Sam, if you do cover zero blitzes with dudes that probably was working at the Wawa or at the Royal Farms, you should probably have been fired anyway. Okay, let's be really honest here. So I was not sad to see Wink go, quite frankly, because I think that that's a liability. And I just think that Mike McDonald, while I respect Wink as a defensive coordinator, I think that he's a little messy and does too much with too little at times. I think what Mike McDonald has done has put his players in situations, what their strengths are, what are they good at? Let's use them for that. And because of that, this defense has just clicked and everybody has just been all over the place. So I'm really excited to see how he's evolved. Unfortunately, I just don't think that he's going to be here long, and understandably so. He has been masterful for the Ravens.
Yeah, he's been so good. I mean, I evaluated the roster before the season. The corners weren't really doing it for me. I can't imagine having Marlon Humphrey gone for 5 games. Right. And this pass defense is clicking on all cylinders. He's been masterful. So we talked about that. We have cornerbacks that we didn't think were going to be as great, but have really stepped up due to the system that he has in place. Now we have a corner that Ravens fans know very well in Marcus Peters. He's no longer with the Raiders. He was released. Some fans want him back because of his swag, because of his big playability, and maybe Mike McDonald can also put in position to make plays. What do you think? Do you think Peters is a has a chance to come in? Should they bring him in?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
The answer is no. Look, I understand we like Marcus Peters. He's what we like to call a dog. Mm-hmm. He's fiery. We like that about him. But he definitely at times looked like he was quitting on his team there. And look, I understand at the time Josh McDaniels was the head coach for many games with the Raiders. So mm-hmm. I can understand that. But now you got Antonio Pierce, a defensive mind that's coaching. If you can't, if you're not inspired by him, then I just don't know what to tell you. I think that Marcus Peters is a liability at this point. I'd much rather just keep the guys that you have and hope that Marlon Humphrey comes back sooner than later. I'm sorry. Let's move along. The thrill is gone.
It's done. I think one of my followers mentioned it that, fancy a big name that they like, and he's a former Raven, and they think, hey, okay, let's bring him in. But yeah, I think Peters, what I saw on film wasn't great, and I don't think even Mike McDonald can do the magic touch to get him back to
form. We got to think about this too, Sam. Like, he was literally on the free agent market for quite a while. True. Okay, it wasn't like he became a free agent with the Ravens, and then the Raiders automatically was like, oh my God, we got to have him.
Right.
The Ravens have signed Yassin, Darby. I mean, other guys were still on the market. And then Marcus Peters got picked up by the Raiders very, very late. So apparently all these GMs know something that fans don't.
Right.
And sometimes you got to look at it like that. Sometimes the signs are there. You got to catch the red flags when you can. It's just not going to work anymore.
Yeah. I think it's done. Let's move on from Peters. I mean, wishing him well, but I think it's over for him. So we talked about the defense. We talked a little about the offense. Let's move forward. They got 5 games left. Huge stretch of games. They're currently the 1 seed in the AFC. Do you see them keeping that 1 seed? I know we're entering the bye. They could get healthy. Or do you think they might regress a little bit, but still be impactful for the postseason?
Well, first and foremost, I don't want to burst the bubble here, but when they get into the bye, they won't even have the 1 seed. So there's that. They have three conference losses. Let's mm-hmm. start there. The Chiefs have 1 conference loss. I think the Dolphins have a better record that would have put them ahead. So they're probably going to be the 3 seed by the time they come out. And then they have the schedule that they have. So no, the answer is no. So at this point, we got to be honest with ourselves, Sam. Like, I want the Ravens to have the number 1 seed. The fact that they have 3 conference losses, it's self is the task, and that's the problematic part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't see how this is going to work. You don't want to lose to the Rams, who, while they've played better the last couple of weeks, the Ravens are still better than them, let's be honest. And losing to the 49ers is ideal because it's a non-conference loss. But again, the Ravens still have one of the hardest schedules. I think they have the hardest schedule on the last 5 games of the season. So, it's not going to happen. At this point, the Ravens and their fans should be focusing on winning the AFC North and getting a home playoff game. Mm-hmm. A bye would be nice. But look at it like this, Sam. They get a bye the first week in December. You don't really need a bye a couple of weeks later.
That's true.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. Ride with the momentum that you're probably going to need pushing through all of those tough games that you have at the end of the year and keep going. And so, sometimes having a bye week ain't a good thing. And the Chiefs are an anomaly. We'll sit here and say, Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes, and there's no other Patrick Mahomes in this league, period. Right. Or we've seen in quite a while. Every other team kind of needs momentum. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I actually don't want them to get a bye because the bye is so late this year. I want them to come out. I want them to, do what they have to do and keep moving. And hopefully that can push them forward and deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. And every time I think about a bye in the playoffs, I think about the Orioles, how they were, had all those wins and they just fell flat.
Got swept.
Yep. I'm like, God, I really don't want that to happen to Baltimore. Oh, God. And now I'm sad again because I thought about the Orioles not making this World Series. Yeah, that was tough. Okay, well, I have some questions here. Some fans had some questions that I couldn't get to, but I think you'll be a good person to talk to you about this. And I think we mentioned a little bit, but let's talk about it. What are you thinking on why the Ravens are inconsistent on offense? Sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're not. What are your thoughts on why that is?
For me, I think it's their commitment to the run in times that they should run. So, again, when we're talking about elite pass rushers here, how do you beat elite pass rushers? You run right at them. Mm-hmm. So you either run run plays at them, draw plays at them, screen plays at them. You got to run right at them. And for whatever reason, the Ravens don't like doing that. And they just continue to want to throw the ball, even though Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses have struggled and been bull rushed at times. So yes, drives are going to stop because your tackles are not doing their jobs. And now it's forcing Lamar to get skittish in that pocket and try to, you know, make throws that aren't there. And it's stopping drives when really, honestly, a lot of this can just be handled if you just found a way to attack the rush and run the football. Even though when you look at the stat sheet for the Chiefs game, it'll show you a more balanced attack, but I can't understand why you felt like that was necessary. Having a balanced attack that night wasn't necessary. Running down at their throats, running play action was necessary. So, I mean, hopefully they learn from that and then they can become more consistent, but you got to know your opponent and you got to know how to attack their weaknesses. And sometimes you have to use their strengths against them as a weakness. And the Ravens have yet figured out how to do that, even though I just told them how to. So hopefully they listen to this podcast.
Oh my God.
And then they can do just do what I said. Thank you.
Literally just had a spill about that 15 minutes ago where I talked about how the Ravens do not do that. They definitely need to do that. It happens almost every year, I feel like, at least one or two games. It's annoying, but let's move on. Keegan Mitchell. Looks like he's getting a lot more snaps. Do you think he overtakes Gus Edwards as the RB1? Do you think they should split the carries between the two of them and kind of leave Justice Hill as a far third? Or do you think it should be a little more Gus Edwards now that the run hasn't been established as much this last game? And we'll see how it goes.
I think Gus should still be the number one. I mean, I definitely think that you should increase Keaton Mitchell's carries for sure. I think he's earned that. But I think Gus Edwards is still the number one guy. He can just lean forward and get 5 yards, okay? True. He can get stopped at the line of scrimmage and get 3 yards. And as much as I love Keaton Mitchell at times, he's boom or bust. And by that, I mean, like, he's getting either stopped at the line of scrimmage or he's having big gains. Mm-hmm. He's not consistent like Gus Edwards is. And I know that we love the explosiveness and we love the explosive plays. The consistency has not been there as of yet. And I believe that it will be. Mm-hmm. But you do have somebody that's consistent, right? And that's Gus Edwards. And I don't think that you should take that away from him because you have this explosive guy who can make these plays. So for me, it's still going to be Gus and it's still going to be Keaton. And look, there's a place for Justice Hill. It's just not when you're trying to no more handoffs. No more fake handoffs, because you and Lamar are not on the same page clearly about that. And we've had enough of that. So I definitely think that the two backs that should be focused on right now are number one, Gus, and two, Keaton Mitchell.
I agree with you. That's a very good point. Last question. Justin Tucker, I should say, he lost his spot to Koo last game. He missed a easy one for at least Tucker. Do you think that he regains that spot? I think fans are a little concerned that Justin Tucker might be losing a kick or a step, if you will, in this game.
You know, here's the thing. You know, he is 34 years old. He's been in the league. This is his 11th season. It would be ridiculous of us to think that a guy can keep the power in his legs after 11 seasons. Do I think that Justin Tucker is in a slump? Yep. I do. I think that he's had times where he's not automatic. 44-yard field goal in a dome should be automatic for you, mm-hmm. and it wasn't. But I'm not quite concerned yet. I think that Justin will figure it out. I think that he is a professional. I think that he's a guy that probably, like us that's watching, wondering what's going on, is saying the same thing. And sometimes you need to change and evolve what it is that you have been doing to prepare, right? Again, you're getting older. So, you know, 10 years ago, Sam, I could eat whatever I wanted and didn't have to really work out. Well, now I can't do that. and if I go up a flight of steps, I'm going to be huffing and puffing because I don't work out because I eat bad. So the solution to that for me is eat better, exercise more. I don't know what the solution is for Justin. I'm just making the point that as people get older, sometimes you got to change your habits. And maybe for him that's something that he needs to do. But I'm not ready to give up on Justin Tucker because he's dealing with a slump. I'm willing to acknowledge it. I think that it's something that we should be paying attention to in case it becomes a trend. But I'm also not ready to give up on him. He's still the greatest kicker of all time, in my opinion. I don't care about Cool. I don't care what they say. Right. He is still the greatest and he's had a lot of great moments. And I think he deserves the opportunity to redeem himself and become more the consistent kicker that we know he can be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's still the GOAT. I'll take your phrase. Let's give him some grace and give him some time to get acclimated, get back to it. I think I spoke with Matt Stover a few years ago, and they said that he's one of those guys who really tries new things every offseason and maybe trying something new, and it's not working out. So I'm sure he'll
That's
adjust.
That's very true, yeah. too. So yeah. Go back to what you was doing, but then add just a little bit of stank to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much, Rita. I think that's all the time we have. I appreciate you joining us. You've definitely been my favorite guest. I hope the other guests are listening, but I definitely love your insight. And
if you are, step your game up. Yeah, your deck over
Step it up. I mean, be Rita. So let the people in the home know where they can find your stuff.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's mm-hmm. always been a pleasure to be in the presence of the great Sam.
Oh, man.
Of course, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever, at the NFL Chick. Also, check out the podcast at Gridiron Gals. It's myself and my best friend, Charles. We really just crack us up.
Yeah.
We're hilarious.
You guys are funny.
And also the Winning Drive podcast with myself and Cordell Woodland from 105.7 The Fan. And then sometimes I'm on Brother from Another on the Peacock channel, typically once a week. It varies. So check it out. If you follow me on any of the social medias, I usually tell you the day that I'm on. So.
Yeah, and you also do a show with Tyus Bowser every other week, too. That's
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yes. So the next Tyus Bowser show, I believe, is the 11th, Tuesday, the 11th of Is the 11th a Tuesday? Whatever that Tuesday is.
Yeah.
I think it's the 12th. It might be the 12th. Tuesday, the 12th is the next Tyus Bowser show. And again, you can follow myself or at Glenn Clark Radio, and we will give you the information on where the location is, as well as the next guest. We had Project Pat Ricard on there the last time. And he told us that he did not know Outkast. He didn't know who Big Boy was. And I was very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Yeah.
Your name is Project Pat.
Exactly.
So I know you, and we asked him before. He does know who Project Pat is. He knows who Project Pat is, but you don't know who Big Boy is. Come on,
Crazy.
Bro.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for joining the show again. Thank you so much for coming. We're gonna have you back for sure before the end of the season, and we'll try and work out that schedule. That's Rita Hubbard. She's the NFL Chick. Definitely a great Baltimore personality. If you guys don't follow her, you guys are crazy. Definitely do so and check out all her media outlets. When we return, we'll get final thoughts, and we'll look ahead to the bye week, and hopefully the Ravens can get their act together and get that offense going, but we'll talk about it. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, that was my friend Rita Hubbard. You guys can probably tell by the way she talks. You know, we have a good rapport. She's awesome. She knows her stuff, definitely. And she changed my mind on some things. You know, I was thinking, yeah, let's give Keaton Mitchell some more touches. But Rita made an excellent point. He hasn't been consistent. Gus Edwards is a consistent body right now. And that big playability, although enticing, shouldn't be used if you're not going to consistently get yardage in the offense that's really predicated on momentum and keeping the ball rolling. So, yeah, great to have her on. I know you guys love that stuff, and we'll definitely have her on before the end of the season to get her insight as the Ravens make a push for the playoffs. So the Ravens are 9-3. They've won 75% of the games. They're looking good. They've had some hiccups. Most teams do. But, you know, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. The Ravens were a team that was maligned for not being able to close out games. And so far, I've seen them close out games. Now, I would love them to be more consistent on offense, and I can't ask any more of the defense. But this is a team that is really shaping up their own destiny. It's going to be up to them if they want to take it all the way to the Super Bowl. There isn't a team in the AFC that's better than the Ravens. I will say that. Rita did make a good point. The Ravens have 3 conference losses. Colts, Browns, and Steelers. So that's their fault, you know. And maybe having a bye isn't the best idea. We talked about the Orioles, the baseball team that unfortunately lost in their first outing in the playoffs because they had that bye, I believe, played a big part of it. So maybe they keep the ball rolling. They have a bye in December. Shoot it all the way to the Super Bowl. So we'll see. So Ravens get the week off, Harbaugh mentioned, and we won't have the week off. We'll be back next week to talk all about that bye week and move forward to the Los Angeles Rams. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the guys that brought the questions in. If I didn't get to your questions, I'll try and post it on social media and give you my insight. But hopefully Rita and I answer those questions to the best of our ability. You guys have been awesome. The season's been great, and we'll see how it concludes. We'll get the second half underway. Maybe the Ravens win the Super Bowl. We'll see. We'll find out. These next 5 games will be pivotal. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.